Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Thank you.
All right, could we have Ms. Trayers, please?
You might need to step up and sit right down, and again, you've been previously sworn.
All right, Ms. Giannetti.
Thank you, Ron. Good afternoon again, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Who of you testified that you knew John O'Keefe as a prior customer in the bar, correct?
Correct.
And that particular night, John appeared to be in a good mood. Would you agree?
Yes.
In fact, John is a pretty good tipper.
I wouldn't really know.
Well, with regard to that particular night, there was one receipt that was introduced in Exhibit 54. You probably didn't take a close look at it.
No.
But if I suggested to you that there was a receipt for a total of $16.58 worth of drinks, and John put a tip down of $10. That'd be a pretty good tip, right? And do you need to see the receipt to confirm that, or?
No.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And that night, John's demeanor seemed fine. Would you agree?
Yes.
You didn't notice John buying drinks for a woman that night, did you?
No.
And with regard to your, you know, sort of scanning the people that were there within that group, one of your duties as a bartender is to make sure that nobody's overserved, right?
Correct.
And so, you know, while you don't watch every movement all the time, you do look for signs that somebody might be overserved, correct?
Correct.
And with regard to the group that came in, the receipts for which you were shown today, nobody really seemed highly intoxicated to you, correct?
No.
If I may just have a moment?
Yes.
I have no further questions. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Don't redirect, John.
All right, Ms. Trayers, thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I approach counsel table to deliver this exhibit back?
Yes, I was actually just looking for it. So
oh,
yes, please.
Right
thank
here.
You.
Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Your next witness, Mr. Lally.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth will call Mr. Nicholas Kolokithis to the stand.
Okay.
Do you swear the evidence you do in the court and jury in the case now hearing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury?
It's Nicholas Kolokithis, Kolokithas.
And where do you live, sir?
Canton.
And how long have you lived in Canton?
21 years.
And who, if anyone, do you live in Canton with?
My wife and two children.
What is your wife's name?
Karina.
And your two children, how old are they?
18 and 16.
Are they both girls?
Yes.
And do you work, sir?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I'm an attorney.
And how long have you been practicing as an attorney?
27 years.
And does your wife work?
Yes, she does.
And what does she do?
She's a pharmacist.
Now, if I could turn your attention to the evening of January 28th, 2022. Do you recall that day?
Yes, I do.
Were you working that day?
I was.
Were you working in the office or remotely? Or?
We were hybrid. I was working remote that day.
Now, as far as that evening was concerned, what, if anything, were the plans and sort of what did you do that evening?
Sure. My older daughter was on the Canton High basketball team. So we were planning to go. I was planning to go to the basketball game, and I did go to the basketball game, yes.
And where was the basketball game?
Canton High School.
And your daughter at that point, which team did she play?
She was coming off an injury, and she was playing for both the JV and the varsity team.
So she was sort of swinging between JV and varsity?
Correct.
And so what time were each of the games at?
I think the JV was around 5 or so, and the varsity 6:30, 6:45.
And do you recall who they were playing?
Foxborough High.
And when you arrived to the game, as far as where is it that you typically sit when you go to a basketball game in Canada?
There was a group of 5 parents or so, including us, we generally sat together most of the games.
And who, if anyone else, was among those parents that you sat with?
Specifically?
Yes.
Names? The McCabes, the Fitzgeralds, Galleries, and Tom Beattie.
And these are people you know as sort of parents of other children that are on the team?
Yes.
And as far as that particular, is that who you sat with on this occasion, if you recall?
I believe so.
And your wife, did she come to one or both games?
She came to the second game, the varsity game.
And about what time did that game get over?
The varsity game?
Yes.
It went into overtime. It was a back and forth game. It later than usual, I don't remember the exact time.
One.
We lost Foxborough one.
Now, following that, following the basketball game, where did you go from there?
As usual, we waited for our players to come out, our daughters to come out, and they're the same group of parents were deciding if we should continue, go out somewhere, get something to eat. I was hungry. Anybody who knows me doesn't get between me and my food, so I was very hungry, so wanted to get something to eat.
And where did you decide to go?
Went to the waterfall.
Is that somewhere that you had been before?
Yes.
Now, with regard to the waterfall, as far as the other parents were concerned, what, if any, other parents from the ones that you described, as far as the ones you sit with at the game, who, if anyone else, went?
Jennifer and Matt McCabe.
And how was that sort of, was that communicated to you as far as in person, via text, or phone, or how did you come to the waterfall?
It was via text.
And so you get a text from who specifically directing you to sort of go to the waterfall?
So it was a group text amongst the five sets of families, and different ideas were bantered about in the group text, and I decided to go to the waterfall.
And when you get to the waterfall, being familiar with the establishment, where is it that you parked in reference to the waterfall?
I parked behind Washington Street. There's a small little parking lot. Waterfall shares a parking lot with other establishments, and I believe condos, so I parked in the back.
And about what time did you get there?
I got there right around 9-ish, a little bit before 9 o'clock.
And who, if anyone else from that group of parents besides yourself in the McCabe's went to the waterfall that night?
So walked in, it was a large table, probably about 8 to 10 feet long. In addition to Jen and Matt McCabe, there was Jen's sister, Nicole Albert, her husband, Brian Albert, Brian's brother, Chris Albert, and his wife, Julie. And there were others that I was just introduced to for the first time. So I don't remember their name. I don't recall their names, but there were others at the table as well.
And so as far as the other sort of basketball parents, were any of them there as well, beyond the McCabe's?
Beyond the McCabe's, no.
And as far as the other people who weren't, didn't have the last name McCabe, how did you know any of those people? Or did you know any of those?
At the waterfall?
Yes.
I had met Nicole, Brian, Chris, and Julie prior, I think, other basketball games, other events. So I knew them through the McCabe's, through Jen.
And the McCabe's had a daughter on the basketball team as well?
They had one of their daughters on the team at the time, yes.
And when it came to the McCabe's, there's Mr. and Mrs., what are their names?
Jennifer and Matt McCabe.
How long have you known Jennifer and Matt?
About 9 or 10 years ago we met.
And at some point during the course of the evening, did your wife join you at the waterfall as well?
She did.
Fair to say you took separate cars, is that correct?
We did, yes.
And about how long after you arrived did your wife Karina arrive?
I want to say it was about a half hour or so. So around 9:30 she arrived.
Now, with reference to this table that you were referencing, about 8 to 10 feet long, is that correct?
Correct.
And was this a high top, low top? What kind of table is that?
It was a high top table towards the bar end of Waterfall. I don't know if it was the last table or the second to last table right before you hit the bar.
And as far as the people that you've described, the people that you knew or didn't know, where were they sort of situated around the table?
When I first walked in, I saw Matt. Since he was the person I was most familiar with, Matt and Jen. Matt was standing towards the right side of the table as you're walking in towards the right side, so I went to the right side of the table.
Is that essentially where you stayed for the balance of most of the night?
Yes.
And your wife, when she arrived, where did she go in reference to you?
Initially, she came to me, said hello. I think she picked for my food. And then she gravitated, I believe, towards the left side of the table where more of the women were located.
And at some point following that, was there anyone else that you knew or aware of that came into the bar?
Yes.
And about what time was it?
Shortly before 11 or right around 11.
And who was that?
It was John O'Keefe and Karen Reed.
And these are people that you were familiar with prior to that date?
Yes.
And just to be clear, when we're talking about Karen Reed, do you see Ms. Reed in the courtroom today?
I do.
And describe just as to where she's seated or an article of clothing she's wearing?
She's seated at a table to my right, second person in from the right.
Does the record reflect identification of the defendant by the witness?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, how did you know John O'Keefe?
John O'Keefe had adopted his niece and nephew. His niece is the same age as my younger daughter. And they were playing basketball together. They've been friends for years. So I got to know John through my daughter.
Now, as far as Ms. Reed, when was it that you met her? When was it that you became sort of aware?
Sure. I believe it was towards the end of the summer of 2020. I dropped my daughter off at John's place on Meadows. Karen was there. It was the first time I met her. So it was 2020.
And with reference to yourself and your wife as a couple and Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, how often would you sort of see them?
As couples? Not too often. I would see John on a weekly basis during the basketball season, sometimes multiple times a week during the basketball season. But as couples, maybe a couple of times we had seen them.
So fair to say most of your interaction with them would be at sort of sporting events or things for the kids?
Yes.
Now, as far as on that evening, obviously you went out, you had something to eat. Did you have anything to drink as well?
I did.
And do you recall sort of what you were drinking that night?
Captain and Coke.
And as far as John O'Keefe, do you recall sort of what he was drinking that night?
Yes.
And what, if anything, do you recall?
Beer.
Is that sort of typical for Mr. O'Keefe?
From the occasions we happen to be out on events like that, yes.
Now, as far as Ms. Reed, what, if anything, did you observe her to be drinking at the waterfall?
She was holding a cup, a glass, with a clear liquid.
And what was your understanding of what was in the cup with the clear liquid?
I don't know what was in there, but I don't know if it was water or alcoholic drink, but I don't know for sure.
Now, as far as the sort of general demeanor and atmosphere within the bar that night, how would you describe that?
Generally, it was a fun atmosphere. There was a live band. Everybody was in a good mood. I think people were singing to some of the music, so it was a fun atmosphere.
And specifically, you didn't observe anything as far as arguing or anything between Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, is that correct?
That is correct. I did not.
And you didn't observe anything as far as arguing or anything between anyone at the bar that night, is that correct?
That is correct. I did not.
And as far as Mr. O'Keefe was concerned, do you recall what he was wearing when he was in the bar?
Yes. He had a dark baseball cap, jeans, sneakers, and he had some type of top, a longer sleeve top.
At any point in time, did you observe him to have a winter coat or a jacket or anything like that?
Not that I recall.
And as far as his clothing was concerned, what, if anything, did you observe as far as the condition of that? Were there any tears or anything in his clothing?
No tears, nothing unusual about the clothing.
And as far as Mr. O'Keefe himself, what, if any, injuries did you observe on him at that time that you saw him at the bar?
I didn't observe any injuries.
Now, as far as prior to them coming into the waterfall, do you have any idea sort of where they were coming from?
Yes, I did.
And how did you know?
I knew through Matt McCabe. Matt had said that they were at waterfall at CF McCarthy's, and they were heading over. We had the live band, and they were coming over to our place.
As far as the live band was concerned, about how loud was it in the waterfall during that time?
It was fairly loud.
Now, towards the end of the night, what, if any, discussion did you observe or were you a part of as far as sort of anywhere people were going afterward?
Again, we were at this larger, 8, almost 10-foot table, and most of the discussion was happening towards the other side of the table, but there were a couple of places that people were discussing about going, potentially going.
And what were those couple places people were discussing?
One was back to, one was 2 D&Es, which was across the street next to CF McCarthy's, and the other one was 34 Fairview Road.
And as far as D&Es, are you familiar with that establishment?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What is it and where is it in relation to the walk?
It's basically a sub shop, pizza shop. It's diagonally across the street from Waterfall.
And what, if any, relationship did the D&E Pizza have to anyone that you observed in the group that night?
Chris Albert, who was with the group, is one of the owners, if not the owner, of D&E.
And as far as going to that place afterward, who, if anyone, among the group had sort of mentioned that or was talking about that?
I didn't hear specifically one person. It was just generally coming from the group. So,
did you hear the defendant at any point talking about going there or wanting to go?
I heard from others that she had mentioned about wanting to go there.
Now, you mentioned a couple of different places. What was the other place?
34 Fairview Road.
And was it mentioned specifically as far as that address, or how was it referenced?
I believe it was mentioned... Brian Albert, the homeowner, had invited the group back to his house. I can't remember if it was come back to my house or come back to 34 Fairview, but that was his residence.
And so was that sort of an open invitation to the group at the table?
Yes.
And yourself and your wife, did either of you go to Fairview Road that night?
We did not.
And at some point you left, you recall about what time that you left the Waterfall?
It was shortly after 12 o'clock, maybe 12:10 or so.
And when did you leave in reference to sort of the rest of the group?
Sure. Matt and I stayed back a little bit. We helped clean up the table with the bottles and glasses. We spoke to the band briefly, told them how well they played. So we were a little bit later, maybe a couple of minutes later than the rest of the group.
And when you exited, did you know where your wife was?
I did. I knew where she was.
Where was she?
She was parked out front on Washington Street.
And so you were parked in the lot and she was parked on Washington Street?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And when you came outside, what, if anything, did you observe about sort of the weather or what was going on at that?
It was very cold, and it just started to snow. I don't even think there was a dusting on the ground or barely a dusting on the ground.
And so at that point, could you still sort of see like blacktop on the pavement?
Yes.
When you got to your car, what, if anything, did you have to do to sort of get your car ready to go or clean off your car or anything like that?
I didn't need a scraper or anything. I just turned on my windshield wipers and it cleaned the snow off.
Now, as far as you mentioned that you and Mr. McCabe were sort of the last to leave from the group, do you know what order sort of the rest of the group had left in?
Generally, yes.
And generally, what do you recall?
There was a larger group that left right before us. I believe my wife was part of that group. Jen was in that group, and Karen was in that group.
You mentioned that your wife was sort of gravitated towards the other end of the table where some of the other women were at. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So who was, as far as the women that you're referencing, who was in that group that your wife was conversing with?
I know it was Karen was part of that group, and Jennifer was part of that group as well.
And that'd be Jennifer McCabe, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd just like to publish this brief portion of Exhibit 53, this surveillance video. Gentlemen, if I could have Exhibit 53 up on the screen, and specifically if I could have from Channel 3, the second video down. And if you could put that at approximately 10:59 p.m. When it gets to 10:59, if you could just pause. Thank you. So, Mr. Colakeith, what's up on the screen as Exhibit 53? Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize?
It's the inside of the waterfall bar.
And before you on that desk, I believe there should be a laser pointer.
Yes.
So if you could just grab that and sort of click the button on top when I ask you to.
Yes.
So with reference to this video, do you see yourself within this video?
Yes, I do.
You could just draw the jury's attention to sort of where you are in this video.
Black and white shirt.
And from that specific area, sort of where you are, do you recognize anybody else in that sort of general area of the frame?
Yes, I do.
And if you could just draw the jury's attention to who you recognize and where they are.
I believe that's Matt McCabe right there to my right and John O'Keefe to my left, in front of me to my left.
Now, that area of the table where you indicated your wife was with another group of women further away from you, where would that be if you see?
The numbering is there, so I can't really see, but it was towards this side.
And further down the table, is that where the people that you were less familiar with, is that where they were?
Correct, yes.
Ms. Gumman, you can take that. Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
Cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Mr. Colakeith.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Colakeith, you and I have never actually met.
We have not.
We've never had a conversation.
Have not.
We've certainly never had an interview about this case.
Have not.
So this is our first time visiting about this situation.
Yes.
When did you say you first met Ms. Reed?
I believe it was towards the end of the summer of 2020.
Okay. And that was over an event at...
I don't know if it was John's niece's birthday party or so, but I was dropping my daughter off at John's house.
Okay. That sort of dovetails into my next question. You and your wife and y'all's kids did have some sort of relationship with Mr. O'Keefe, Ms. Reed, and Mr. O'Keefe's niece and nephew.
Yes.
In other words, the kids got along well.
Yes, absolutely. And they're still friends.
As the adults, you wanted to make sure that you could facilitate play dates, get-togethers, things of that nature for the children.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, do you remember a situation in which Ms. Reed had arranged a relatively elaborate 13th birthday party for Mr. O'Keefe's niece, a scavenger hunt of some sorts?
Objection.
I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for this, please. Yes.
With regard to the last question I asked, you recall an event in which Ms. Reed had organized a relatively elaborate 13th birthday party for Mr. O'Keefe's niece, correct?
Yes.
And one of your children was actually invited to that?
Yes.
Did you actually go and accompany your child at the 13th birthday party?
I did not.
Did your wife?
I don't know. She generally keeps a social calendar for the kids, but I don't know if she did.
So it could have been a situation, Mr. Colakeithis, in which you just dropped the child off and...
Yes, correct.
...enjoyed the birthday party.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. But you had no problems or no qualms with Ms. Reed, Mr. O'Keefe being caretakers over your children?
Absolutely not.
You said that you didn't socialize as couples all that often, but there were times in which you did socialize with them.
Yes.
About how many times would you say?
A handful of times, maybe.
Okay. Five or six?
If that.
Over the course of how long?
Since 2020 to 2022, 2 years. Less than 2 years.
Focusing your attention more toward the end of that time period that you just mentioned, toward 2022, when you socialized with Ms. Reed and Mr. O'Keefe, did you ever see any sort of tension between the two of them?
Not at all.
Did they seem like a normal and loving couple?
Absolutely.
Did they seem like they were affectionate and normally affectionate with one another?
Absolutely.
Did you ever have any question about the nature of their relationship, any toxicity in the relationship or any overt indicators that they weren't getting along?
Not to my knowledge, not at all.
Matter of fact, you spent more time with Mr. O'Keefe.
Yes.
Anybody else in the foursome, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, than my wife. I mean, foursome.
That's a good catch. You're going to pay for that later. Fair enough.
I get brownie points for that, right?
Let me see if I can restate it a little bit better. Between Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, you spent more time with Mr. O'Keefe.
Yes.
Fair enough. You knew that Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed had rekindled a previous relationship from years earlier.
Yes, I did.
And you knew that Mr. O'Keefe was excited about that.
Yes.
I want to draw your attention to the late night hours of January 28th going into the early morning hours of January 29th, if I could. Specifically at the waterfall. Did you get to the waterfall before Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed got there?
Yes, I did.
How long before?
So I got there around 9 and they got there shortly before 11. So 2 hours.
While at the waterfall, did you have an opportunity to speak with Ms. Reed or Mr. O'Keefe just in normal conversation?
Yes, I did.
You engaged both of them, as a matter of fact, didn't you?
Yes.
Was there a time in which Ms. Reed was actually singing John's praises that night?
Yes, I did.
What a great dad he was.
Yep.
Objection, move to strike.
I'm going to strike that. Next question.
At any point, did you have an opportunity to hear Mr. O'Keefe talk about Ms. Reed and the nature of their relationship or any events surrounding their relationship?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
I had heard that they were planning vacations in the future.
Were you aware of the time frame of those vacations in the future? Next week, next month, next year?
Objection, Your Honor. May we approach?
Jurors, feel free to stand up and stretch.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. There was nothing eventful at the bar while you were at the bar with Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed that comes to mind in terms of any kind of tension or fight that night.
Tension or fight? Absolutely not.
No argument that was audible to you?
Absolutely not.
You didn't see any body language between the two of them that would suggest an argument or a fight or tension?
In fact, I noticed the opposite.
Describe that.
They were affectionate toward each other, loving toward each other, and to the point where my wife even made a comment, why are you not like that with me?
You had something to live up to.
Yes. That's why I needed the brownie points earlier.
I want to shift gears for a second and pinpoint another time at the bar. Was there a time at the bar where you noticed any individuals with their fists up and engaged in some sort of conduct that looks a little like this?
No, I didn't observe that.
You don't recall that?
No.
Sparring with one another?
Not that I saw.
Wrestling?
Not that I saw.
Okay. I'd like, if I could, Mr. Kolokitis, with the court's permission, refer to Exhibit 53.
Okay.
There are several, Your Honor, so the court, so clip ending in 5959. May I play this for the jury?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to play about 10 seconds, Mr. Kolokitis, and then stop it and ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
Okay, if we could pause. I just wanted to play a couple of seconds to see if you recognize any of what's displayed in this video.
Yes, I do.
How do you recognize it?
How do I I was there that night.
My question is, do you recognize this as being a surveillance video from the 28th going into the morning of the 29th?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I want to draw your attention to the individuals that are toward the top. This one, you have that green one? There we go. Okay. If I could draw your attention to the individuals at the top, can you name the folks that we're seeing and describe what they're wearing for the jurors so we have an understanding of who we're looking at?
Okay. That's me in the white and black. That's Matt to my right. A little hard of seeing, but I think that's John right there. And I thought I saw Karen earlier right in this area while you were displaying the video.
And what about the two gentlemen with their backs to us?
I know I met them that evening, but I can't tell from behind like this.
Understood. With the court's permission, could we just go ahead and play this through? I'd like to run it through to about the runtime of 11:08, but I'll ask that the video be paused momentarily.
11:08, so just one more second?
Runtime 11:08, so probably about 4 minutes.
Okay.
3 minutes, 4 minutes. May I?
Yes.
Thank you. Can you pause it? Having seen this run forward just a little bit, do you see an individual here? With long hair.
So you're squinting. Are you having difficulty?
Yes, I am having difficulty. Is there? Could you blow it up a bit? I
don't think so. Our technology is good, but I'm getting a shake of the head.
My eyes are not good. I can tell you that.
Let's just go ahead and play it forward with the court's permission.
All right, but if you can't see it, I don't want you to guess.
So this, are you talking right here?
Yes.
That looks like Karen.
Okay. May we play it forward, Your Honor?
Yes.
Pause it. I ask you to draw your attention to the two gentlemen in the foreground, right there. Can you describe what they're doing?
It looks like they're in a stance that you described earlier with fists up.
Objection, Earl. May we approach?
Okay, so I'm sustaining that objection, but come on up.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Another question, and if you're having trouble seeing, just let me know. You see the person in the far right?
Yes, I do.
Who's that?
Me.
And what do you seem to be, or what do you appear to be looking at, if anything?
I appear to be looking in that direction.
Okay. Can we go ahead and play this forward? Pause. Just go keep this. Do you recall engaging with the two men in any sort of conversation? The two men, their backs facing to us.
I mean, I can see it. I honestly do not recall it. But
okay. Yep. Do you recall ever being introduced to those two gentlemen?
Yes.
Who are they?
Brian Albert, Brian Higgins.
And which one is which? Left and right?
Left is Albert, right is Higgins.
We're going to play this? Thank you. Keith, this, can I draw your attention to the upper right? Do you recognize any person facing the camera in the upper right corner?
Yes, I do.
Who is that?
John O'Keefe.
Okay. About 30 more seconds, Your Honor.
Okay. Your Honor, we've paused at 11:08. If I could ask a couple of other questions, and okay. I think we can leave the lights down because I'm going to ask another, with the court's permission, another clip be played. Mr. Kolakithis, you indicated that you don't recall the events that you're seeing. Is that still the case, or has your recollection been refreshed about what you were witnessing?
I honestly don't remember the what appears to be play fighting. I don't remember that.
If we could move to runtime 16:36, with the court's permission.
Okay.
Ready? Your Honor, when we play 16:36. Go ahead. And pausing, do you see yourself in the upper right-hand corner?
Yes, I do.
And do you see the two people, the two individuals, Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, in the...
Yes, I do.
Okay. Pause it. Do you see at this point, I know it's difficult, do you see John O'Keefe anywhere in the frame at this juncture?
I do not see him.
Okay. Pause. And now taking a look at the individual in the top of the screen, do you see that person?
Yes, I do.
Who is that?
John O'Keefe.
And what direction, is he facing us or facing away from us?
He's facing us. It looks like he's facing us.
So he would be facing the two individuals with their back to us?
Yes.
Okay. And he it appears to be standing across the table, across the bar table?
Yes.
I'm going to play that for a second. With that, I would ask you who this individual is with the fur coat.
My wife.
Hiding on the coat?
It's my wife.
Okay. And are you still in the same spot, upper right-hand corner?
Yes, I am.
And where is Mr. O'Keefe?
Across. He's now facing the other way.
Thank you.
Away from us.
We can take this down. Okay. With regard to what you just saw, the second incident of what appeared to be two individuals touching each other, did you engage in any sort of roughhousing or play fighting that night?
I did not.
Did you engage in any grappling or wrestling that night?
I did not.
Did you see John O'Keefe engage in any wrestling or grappling or play fighting?
I do not recall him doing that.
Or do you recall him doing any sparring?
I do not recall him doing that.
Do you recall him ever putting his fists up toward any other person in that bar that night?
I do not recall him doing that.
That's all I have for this one, Sean.
All right.
Just a moment. I'm sorry. I'm going to get that in. 1636. I'm fine. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Lally, any follow-up?
Just briefly, Your Honor.
Mr. Colakithis.
As far as your observations of Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed and their relationship, you saw what they sort of depicted in public, correct?
Yes.
So fair to say, did you ever have any sort of substantial conversations with either Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed about their relationship?
A personal relationship? No, I did not.
Anything as far as your personal relationship with your wife, is that something that you would have shared or discussed with Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed?
I'm not sure. Are you asking me if I knew something about their relationship I would share with my wife or vice versa?
No, what I'm asking is from the other side, okay? So you didn't discuss really Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed's relationship with them, correct?
Correct.
And so what I'm asking now is you didn't discuss your own relationship with your wife with Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed, correct?
That is correct.
Now, with reference to what you were just shown up on the screen, that was so memorable that you testified you don't have a memory of it, correct?
The which part?
The whatever that was between two individuals play fight.
I do not recall that.
And as far as yourself within that video, did you observe yourself appear to sort of be laughing while that was going on?
I did. I don't know if I was necessarily looking at them or the other side of the table, but yes, I did observe myself laughing.
Nothing further.
Your Honor, may we approach briefly?
Okay.
Mr. Colakithis, just one more question. You testified previously at another hearing that Karen Reed, quote, was actually singing John's praises about how good of a person he was, a father figure, for taking in the kids several years ago and, you know, being there for them and praising them and sacrificing his life to raise them, end quote. Do you remember saying that?
Yes, I do.
Is that true?
100%.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, Mr. Colakithis, you are all set, sir.
Thank you.
Your next witness, Mr. Lally.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth will call Ms. Karina Colakithis to the stand.
Okay.
You solemnly swear the evidence you give the court and jury in the case now and hearing to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
Okay, whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury?
It's Karina Colakithis, Colakithas.
And where is it that you live, ma'am?
I live in Canton.
And how long have you lived in Canton?
We lived in Canton for about 13 years. 21 years.
And when you say we, who, if anyone, do you live in Canton?
I live with my husband and my two daughters.
And what's your husband's name?
His name is Nicholas.
And how many daughters do you have?
I have two.
And about how old are they?
18 and 16.
And do you work, ma'am?
I do work.
And what do you do for work?
I'm a pharmacist.
And your husband works as well?
He does.
And what does he do?
He's an attorney.
Now, if I could turn your attention to January 28th and January 29th of 2022, all those days?
I do.
And do you recall what day of the week those were?
It was a Friday and a Saturday.
And specific to the Friday, did you work that day?
I did work that day.
And after you left work, where did you go?
I went to the Canton Junction.
And why did you go?
We got a text saying some parents from the varsity team were going to be meeting up there, so I thought it would be a good idea to go and stop by and grab something to eat before the game.
And when you say varsity team, which sport was that?
It's basketball.
Was that your older daughter or younger daughter that was on that team?
My older daughter played on that team.
And so at some point there was a game for the varsity girls basketball team?
That's correct.
And where was that game that night?
At Canton High.
And do you recall who they played that night?
They played Foxborough.
And do you recall when the game was?
You mean time?
Yes.
6:30.
And so you mentioned that you went to the Canton Junction for about an hour, so about what time did you get to the Canton Junction?
I believe I got there around 6. I'm not sure.
And following the Canton Junction, where did you go from there?
Went to Canton High to watch my daughter play.
And within sort of the stands at a Canton High girls varsity basketball game, were there certain people that you would typically sort of sit with when you watch the game?
We would just sit with whoever we knew. Usually it was the parents of the girls that played on the varsity team.
And who were some of those parents?
Some of them were the McCabes, the Fitzgeralds, people like that.
And the McCabes, what are their names?
Jennifer and Matt McCabe.
And how long had you and your family known the McCabes?
I think we've known them for about 9 years or so.
And did they have a daughter on the team as well?
They did.
And so you arrived to the game. As far as your husband was concerned, did you observe him there?
He was there already.
Okay. And where did you go to sit?
I went in I don't exactly remember where I went to sit in the vicinity of my husband and those parents.
And following that game, where did you go from there?
So after the game, we went, usually at the end of the game, you'd go down, talk to the players, congratulate them, and then I told everybody I was going home.
And did you in fact go home?
I did go home.
And after you arrived home, what, if anything, happened?
I started getting text messages from my husband, and he said that some of the parents were going to go to grab something to eat, and I should go.
And what, if any, hesitation did you have about that?
I was tired. I worked all day. Pretty much I was done. So I had already almost started changing out of my clothes, and I said I wasn't going to go.
And eventually did you decide to go?
My kids told me to go. They did. They actually, they said to me, you never go out, you don't do anything, dad's by himself, you should go and just keep him company while he eats dinner. So that's what I did.
And so based on that, you decided to go?
I did. Okay. Reluctantly. Reluctantly I went, yes.
And where is it that you went?
So that's when I went to CF, I went to the waterfall, sorry. A little nervous.
And is the waterfall, is that somewhere you had been before?
I had been to the waterfall before.
And where is that located in the town of Canton?
It's on Washington Street in Canton.
And so obviously your husband was already there. You took separate cars. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And about what time is it that you got to the waterfall?
I believe I got to the waterfall around 9:30 at night.
And where did you park your car in relation to the waterfall?
So I actually found parking right on Washington Street, and I was across the street from the waterfall.
And when you arrived and when you came in, who, if anyone, did you recognize sort of when you first came into the waterfall?
So I walked into the waterfall, and there pretty much I didn't know anybody except for Matt McCabe, Jennifer McCabe, and my husband.
And if you could describe for the jury sort of when you walk in the door, the people that you knew as far as your husband and the McCabes, where were they in relation to you walk in the door, where are they?
So you walk in the door, there was a band in the front playing, and then there were high top tables, and they were at the back of the high top tables.
And if I was standing sort of at the doorway of the waterfall, the entrance way in, and facing those high top tables, which side were your husband and the McCabes on from that perspective?
On the right. I believe the band was playing on the, if you walked in the door, the band was in like the top part of the, like on the left, and they were on the right.
And the band that was playing that night, fair to say, was fairly loud in there?
It was extremely loud in there, yes.
And as far as, obviously you're at a bar, people are drinking, is that correct?
That is correct.
And what, if anything, did you have to drink that night?
I drank water that night.
And why was that?
I typically don't drink a lot. I suffer from migraines, so one like alcoholic beverage sometimes can set me off for days. So I chose water.
Now, as far as that high top table that you went to with your husband and the McCabes, were there other people at that table?
There were other people there.
Okay. And did you know or recognize any of those other people at the table?
So it was pretty much all of Jennifer McCabe's family. I did not know them, maybe had seen them around town or and stuff like that, but I didn't know anybody other than my husband and Matt and Jen.
So fair to say that you sort of gravitated or stayed towards that end of the table?
That is correct. I talked to them for a bit, and then I think Jen started introducing me to some people, and I met some of her family.
Now, as far as sort of the overall sort of demeanor within the bar that night and within the group that you were at the high top table with, how would you describe it?
Everybody was happy, having a good time.
No arguments amongst anybody at any time that you saw throughout the entire time you were
there? The whole time I was there was no issues at all.
Now, at some point later on in the evening, who, if anyone else, that you recognized or knew came into the bar?
So I believe I was actually about to leave, and that's when Karen and John came in.
And just to be clear, when you say Karen, you mean Karen Reed, is that correct?
That is correct.
And just to be clear who we're talking about, do you see Karen Reed in Portland today?
I do.
And could you just identify as to where she's seated or an article?
She's sitting right there.
That's a record reflect identification.
Okay.
Now, Mr. O'Keefe, John O'Keefe, how did you know him?
So John, his niece, and my younger daughter were friends. They are friends.
And about how long had you known John O'Keefe?
John, we've probably known for 8 years or so.
And if you recall, when was it about that you had met the defendant, Miss Reed?
I met Miss Reed at, I'm not sure exactly the first, I think the first time I met her was at Jen McCabe's house.
And if you know about when was that in reference to this date of January 28th, 2020?
I believe I met her sometime in 2020.
Sometime in 2020 at Ms. McCabe's house.
That is correct.
And how would you describe sort of the nature of your relationship between either yourself and Mr. O'Keefe or yourself and who did you know better, Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed?
I knew Mr. O'Keefe better. We saw him all the time. My daughter would have play dates with his niece. My husband coached a basketball that his niece played on his team. So he was a great guy. We saw him all the time.
And prior to this date of January 28th, had you ever been in any kind of social setting out with the defendant, Ms. Reed, before?
I had not been, no.
And do you recall approximately what time it was that they came in and you were about to?
I believe it was around 11 o'clock.
And at some point, did they, and by they, I mean Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, did they make their way over to where you were seated at the high top?
They did. So they walked in and John did his rounds, you know, said hi to everybody, came, gave me a hug. And they headed towards us. Yes.
And when they came over to you, what, if anything, happened?
John was really happy. He started talking about Kaylee. and how she had just gotten into Bishop Feehan. And he was just very excited. You could tell he was super excited about that.
Now, as far as Mr. O'Keefe was concerned, what, if anything, do you recall about what he was wearing that night?
I believe he was wearing a baseball hat, jeans, sneakers, some kind of top.
And what, if anything, do you recall about sort of a jacket or anything like that with him at any time that you saw him that night?
I don't remember a jacket. I remember like a some kind of light shirt or something, like a light hoodie-ish kind of shirt. I don't remember a jacket.
As far as his clothing was concerned, what, if anything, do you recall about the condition of it? Were there any sort of tears or disheveled to?
He looked fine. Nothing about his clothing stood out to me.
Now, as far as what you observed as far as interactions between the defendant and Mr. O'Keefe that night, anything out of the ordinary that you observed while you were at the bar?
The defendant. Say that again.
Sure. As far as their interactions between Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant, anything out of the ordinary that you observed between the two of them that evening at the bar?
I saw nothing. I did not see anything.
And extending that sort of to the entire group at the high top table that you were with, anything that you observed sort of out of the realm of the demeanor that you've already described at any point in time in the evening?
No. Everybody was having a great time.
Now, with regard to sort of where you were positioned at the high top table in regard to Mr. O'Keefe, was he closer to your end, or where was he located?
I'm not sure. I don't know where he ended up going. I know that Karen stayed with me, and then I'm not sure where John went, but I know he was talking to the guys, probably.
So Mr. O'Keefe was moving around a bit, talking to different people?
Yes.
And Ms. Reed was down towards where you were, is that correct?
That is correct.
And who, if anyone else, was sort of down your end of the table? Who were you talking to when Ms. Reed came up?
It was Jen McCabe.
So
the three of us.
When Ms. Reed comes and joins, it's essentially Ms. Reed, the defendant, yourself, and Ms. McCabe.
That is correct.
And when Ms. Reed first comes up, what, if any, conversation did she have with either yourself or Ms. McCabe?
She started talking to Jen first, and then they had a conversation, and then we started talking.
And that first sort of initial conversation between the defendant and Ms. McCabe, did you hear any of that conversation?
I did not. It was loud. I don't know what they were talking about.
Now, as far as, obviously you're at a bar and people are drinking, did you, what, if anything, did you observe Mr. O'Keefe be drinking that night?
I believe he was drinking beer.
And as far as Ms. Reed was concerned, what, if anything, did you observe her to be drinking that?
She was drinking something out of a clear glass, perhaps.
So clear glass with a clear liquid in it?
Correct.
Now, as far as through any conversation that you had with either the defendant or Mr. O'Keefe, did you have any understanding of sort of where they came from prior to coming into the waterfall?
So they had come from across the street.
And what is across the street?
From the bar, I think. So it was C.F. McCarthy's.
And so as far as the conversation that you, at some point in time during the course of the evening, you had a conversation with Ms. Reed, is that correct?
We talked for quite a while.
And during that time that you were talking for quite a while, as far as, was that strictly sort of the two of you, or was Ms. McCabe involved in those conversations as well?
Ms. McCabe was involved with those conversations.
Okay. So just to...
It was the three of us.
The three of you were talking with them. Okay. And with respect... with respect to the defendant's relationship with Mr. O'Keefe, what, if anything, did she say about that?
So she started by saying how much she admired him, how much she, like, how much he did for the children, just how she looked up to him for that. She started with that. Well, she started talking about my kids first, and then she started talking about John.
So she spoke about your kids?
About my daughter, yeah.
A little bit of a glowing fashion, is that correct?
She did. She always had a way of, like, saying, she seemed to love my younger daughter, and she said that she really liked my daughter's relationship with John's niece. So she first started with that conversation, and then she went on talking about John and his relationship.
And then after she talked a little bit about that, what, if anything else, did she talk about?
So she started talking about how much he sacrifices, how he's, like, unconditionally puts all his time and effort into the kids, how she admired him for that, and how she also wished that some of the family members would step up and help out a little bit more, because he took all the burden on himself.
And what, if anything else, did she say about that in relation to sort of their relationship?
Just that she wished they had a little bit more time to, you know, go out, go on dates, go on vacation. But she did mention that they had planned a trip or something like that, that she was excited about.
Now, about what time would you say was that you left from the waterfall?
I think everything started wrapping up around midnight.
And prior to that, what, if any, discussion did you hear or were you a part of as far as anybody talking about where to go next?
So I think everybody was having a really good time. So there was conversation first about where could people go, and there was talk about maybe going across the street to the pizza place.
And what pizza place is across the street?
There's a pizza place called D&E Pizza, and the owner happened to be there that night. So I think someone brought it up, or there was some conversation amongst the group, like, hey, let's go there, and he said no.
And what, if any, what, if anything, did you hear the defendant, Ms. Reed, say in reference to going to D&E?
She just seemed, like, willing to go.
Is that something that she mentioned once or more than once?
I believe she mentioned it more than once, but I don't remember, like, at this moment, but...
Is your memory exhausted as to that?
Say that. Could you rephrase that?
Memory exhausted as to that particular point.
I believe it was more than once. Is that your question?
That's my question.
Yes.
Now, other than that, what, if any, other discussion was there as far as where people were wanting to go or intending to go after the war?
So after that was kind of, you know, put to rest, then I think there was discussion about, well, Jen probably brought, I think Jen McKay brought up, let's go to my sister's house.
And is that somewhere that you or your husband, to your knowledge, had ever been to before?
We had never been to her house before, no.
And was that something that was sort of a private invitation, or was that sort of open to the group at the table?
I think it was said out loud, like, hey, anybody wants to go, we can go to my sister's on Fairview. I wasn't specifically invited myself. I just think it was put out there.
And did either yourself or your husband take anyone up on an invitation? Did you go to Fairview after the waterfall?
We did not go. I actually said to him, there's no way we're going anywhere. We're going home.
And just to be clear, by him, you mean your husband?
My husband, yeah.
And around the time of midnight or so when you were leaving, who, if anyone, did you sort of walk out with initially?
So I believe, let me think. It was always Jen, myself, and Karen. So we got up, and Karen went over to John, something like that. He like put his arm around her. I don't know if they had a conversation. They talked. It seemed like they were like quite lovey-dovey at that point. And then that's when Jennifer McCabe went up to Karen and said, you're coming with me. Like, and she like grabbed her. Like, she put her arm around her and she said in front of me, she's like, you're coming with me.
And just to be clear, like sort of how she said that, was that in sort of a forceful way or what?
No, like joking around, like, hey, you know, you come with me. We're going to, you know, and then Karen said, where are we going? And Jen said, it doesn't matter. It'll be a surprise. Like it was like something like that.
And did the three of you sort of walk towards the door to the parking lot together?
Yes.
And where was your husband at this point?
He was behind. He was with Matt McCabe. They were helping the band, like, clean up and get their stuff together. And it was the three of us in the front, meaning the women.
And at the initial time when you're walking out, you and Ms. McCabe and the defendant, where is Mr. O'Keefe?
I'm not a little bit behind us. I'm not sure.
I'm not directly with your group, but...
Not with us, no.
Now, at some point, you get outside of the waterfall. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And at some point, when you're outside of the waterfall, do you see Mr. O'Keefe at that point?
I did. All of a sudden, it was weird. I see Karen with John, and I was like, oh, that's weird. I thought she was going with Jen. And that's just what made me notice it. It was that the whole, like, Jen wanting Karen to go with her, and then all of a sudden I see Karen with John. I just thought it, and I was just like, oh, so it made me notice it.
And so you proceed to your car, I'm presuming, on Washington Street, correct?
That is correct.
And if you recall, which direction was your car facing, like down towards the waterfall or away from the waterfall?
It was away from the waterfall.
And who, if anyone else, did you observe walking in the direction of Washington Street at the same time as yourself?
That's when I saw Karen and John walking.
And they were walking in that direction as well?
Correct.
Did you see them approach or get near to some sort of vehicle?
It looked like they got they were walking towards a black SUV of some sort.
And have you seen either the defendant or Mr. O'Keefe in relation to a dark or a black SUV prior to that date?
I believe I had. Yes.
And whose car did you believe it was?
I thought it was Karen's car.
And which side of that vehicle did you observe Karen walking to?
She was walking to the driver's side. But again, I was more concerned about crossing Washington Street, and there was a little bit of snow at that point. So I didn't see, like, I saw them walking in that direction, like her going to the driver's side and John going to the other side, but I didn't see anything after that.
And were they on the same side of the street as you, or the opposite?
They were facing the opposite direction.
So you were facing away from the waterfall, they were facing towards the waterfall, is that right?
They were just, like, we were in different directions. So I was, like, it's hard to explain, but they were facing, like, I was facing up and they were facing back.
And different sides of the street, is that correct?
That is correct.
And then you got in your car and you left, is that correct?
That is correct.
And around that time that you left, I think you alluded to it, but when you got to your car, what was the weather like at that point?
It had just started snowing. You could see the street still.
So you could still sort of see the blacktop through whatever snow was on the ground?
That is correct.
With the court's permission, I'd just like to publish what's been marked as Exhibit 53, just a couple of portions put out on the screen for this witness.
Okay.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could, I'd ask first for the second video from Channel 3. And again, if I could ask for approximately 10:59. And if you could just get the closet there. So Ms. Kolokithis, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes.
And what do you recognize it to be?
That's the waterfall.
And is this a video that you've seen on a prior occasion?
Yes.
Now, before you, ma'am, there should be a laser pointer. If there's any need for either myself or another attorney, all I would ask you to do is just sort of press that button on it and direct it at the screen.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So from this video, the first of all, as far as the people in the video, do you recognize anybody in the video?
It's really hard to see, but it's my, do you want me to point?
If you recognize anyone, I would ask you to draw the jury's attention to that person and explain who that is.
Oh, sorry. That, I believe, is my husband with that. Maybe, I'm not sure.
So if you don't know, or if you can't tell, or you don't know the people, you...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
Now, Mrs. Polakeith, it's just from up on this video, you recognize sort of the table that you were at or around on the evening of January 28th?
Yes, the high top, yeah.
Okay. And if you could just direct the jury's attention to, generally speaking, which side of the table that you spent your time talking to Ms. McCabe and the defense.
So, like, if we're pointing to here, I'd be on that side, like the left side of the table, if you want to call it the left side.
And the area where the band was, if you could.
The band is here. Like, that's what I meant, the left. Yeah, on the front.
And if you know, the front door area, sort of where is that located?
So it's, like, right there.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just run this video from 10:59 to 11 p.m. Ms. Gilman, if you could take that down, and with the court's permission, I would ask for, from the same Channel 3, the sixth video. And Ms. Gilman, if I could direct you to 12:09 and 50 seconds. Thank you. Again, Mrs. Polakeith, you recognize what's up on the screen as just later on in the evening at the waterfall, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And is this towards the end of the evening?
Yes, it is.
And fair to say that the lights have been turned up, so it's a little easier.
So now I can recognize a few more people.
And so from what you can see up on the screen now, if you could, using that laser pointer, just direct the jury's attention to anybody that you recognize.
Okay, so that's me right there, and then my husband is right there, Nicholas, and I don't know if that's Matt, Jen. I can't tell because of the barcode up there.
With the date and time stamp.
Yeah, I can't see who that is.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could play it from this.
Oh, I see John too. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Please go ahead.
And I see John. John's right there.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, if you could play it from this point till 12:11 and 4 seconds. Coming, if you could pause it right there. Now, as far as, this is the record, we're at 12, 10, 38. You see sort of three individuals going towards the front entrance?
Yes.
That's what you have to say.
Yes.
And with respect, if with that laser pointer, if you could just identify for the jury who, if anyone, you recognize from that group.
Okay, so that's Jennifer McCabe, that's me, and that's Karen.
So you're walking sort of towards the exit at the same time, correct?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if you could. Now, there's another individual sort of making their way to the doorway. Do you recognize that person?
Yes, that's John.
That's John O'Keefe.
John O'Keefe, yes.
Exiting from the water.
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if you could just play the last 2 seconds. Okay. Now, Ms. Gilman, if I could ask you from the same exhibits, but from Channel 1. And the third video down on Channel 1. If I could ask you to fast forward to about 12:11. And essentially what I'm going to ask, Ms. Gilman, if you could play this from 12:11 and 0 to 12:11 and 25 seconds. But I'm sorry, first if I could ask you to just pause it for 1 second, and I know it's an awful time to pause it, but before the flag blew in front of the camera, do you recognize what's depicted up there?
Can you repeat the question,
what's
please?
In this video generally without what's blocking the camera right now? Do you recognize what?
It's the exit.
So that's the exit to the waterfall?
Correct.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, if you could. You could pause right there. Individual sort of down towards the bottom of the frame, do you recognize who that is?
It's Karen and John.
So that would be the point in time where you say they sort of link up at the front door and then walk towards Washington Street?
That's correct.
And if you could, just with reference to the screen that we're looking up here in Exhibit 53, where is Washington Street? You had parked and where you observed Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed walking to.
So, okay. Trying to think of the buildings. That's the back parking lot where they're, like, where you see the cars, and you have to take a left.
So directly in front of where Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed are standing is the back parking lot, and then to the left is Washington Street?
Yeah, I think you have to walk that way.
Okay.
And then you'll hit Washington Street.
Ms. Gilman, if you could just play through 25 seconds. You could pause there. Do you see an individual in the parking lot area?
I do.
And do you recognize who that person is?
I believe it's Jennifer.
By that you mean, I'm sorry, Ms. McCabe?
Ms. McCabe.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could, the last 2 seconds. Thank you. Ms. Gilman, you can take that down, please. May I have 1 moment, John?
Yes.
I have no further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Okay, cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hello.
You and I have never met.
We have not.
We've never had a conversation.
Never.
We've certainly never interviewed
together. Nope, never.
So this is our first time speaking.
Yes.
I want to direct your attention to part of your testimony on direct examination when you're questioning by Mr. Lally. You indicated that before Ms. Reed and Mr. O'Keefe left the bar, Ms. Reed had been making some statements about Mr. O'Keefe.
Okay, yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You indicated that she said that she admired him.
Yes.
That she looked up to Mr. O'Keefe.
Yes.
She always had a way of complimenting him.
Yes.
That he took so much responsibility on as it pertained to the children?
Yes.
And that she did wish that they had more time together?
Yes.
They planned a trip together?
Yes.
And she was excited about that?
Correct.
And she indicated that John was excited about that as well?
Yes.
Just before leaving the bar, you indicated that Jennifer McCabe said to Miss Reed, "You're coming with me," correct?
Yes.
She didn't say, "You and John come with me."
No, correct.
That was directed just to Miss Reed?
Yes.
You're familiar with the town of Canton generally?
Yes.
You know that the distance between the Waterfall Bar and 34 Fairview would be maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes drive?
Probably.
So just after these statements were made, they went to 34 Fairview. 5 minutes later, 7 minutes later, they'd be sitting in front of 34 Fairview, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. All right, Ms. Colicchio, anything?
Just very briefly, Your Honor. So, Mrs. Colicchio, with reference to your relationship with John O'Keefe, as far as what you were relaying was what the defendant had said to you at the bar that night, correct?
Correct.
And fair to say you didn't have any conversation with Mr. O'Keefe in reference to relationship or trips or anything like that?
Not that night, no.
And as far as your relationship with Mr. O'Keefe is, you have any sort of discussions at any point in time about sort of his relationship with Ms. Reed or anything going on in that relationship?
He didn't tell me personal things, no.
You didn't have that type of relationship, correct?
Correct.
And this time out on January 28th, that was the first time that you had been out socially with the defendant, Ms. Reed, correct?
Correct.
And so as far as what it went on behind sort of closed doors at their home or anything like that, you didn't know anything about that?
I did not know.
Nothing further.
I have one question, Your Honor, if I may. But what you did observe between the two of them that night, to use your words, they were lovey-dovey.
They were.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Colicchio, you are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
So it's quarter of. Why don't I see counsel for just a minute? Jurors, feel free to stand. And it makes sense to let you go a little early, and we'll start fresh tomorrow. Okay, so please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into the case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about the case, please disregard it and let us know. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Jurors, closing your notebooks and leaving them on the chairs. Gather your belongings. Follow me. All right, hurry up, please.
Goodbye.
May you be seated.
Any evidentiary issues I need to be concerned about tomorrow with this next witness?
Not for Carmel.
Your Honor, we have, I believe, provided every exhibit that we intend to introduce through this witness. They are all photographs and or screenshots that we would have lined up. I'm happy to show them to Mr. Lally in terms of the specific ones that we would be using before we leave today.
Okay, so just so it's clear, anything you intend to introduce, you have to show them in advance.
Well, we've provided them is what I said originally.
So,
and I certainly will show them before I show them to the witness. What I'm offering is
to show them now before we break.
So, yes, so I'm telling you that, yes, show them to him before we break.
That's exactly what I suggest.
Anything that you intend to show us, introduce tomorrow.
Sure.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
All rise for the court, please.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.